So the CIA Sugarman is in the news. We CBS this morning as Mike Sugarman is drug out of CBS retirement to shovel dirt over our Sugarman in Panama, saying the CIA's favorite drug dealer, quote, he's saying Noriega got busted after working with the CIA till his commie drug running got the best of him. So that's the official story from the BS network, CBS, Channel 5, where Mike Sugarman retired it. Too much fanfare after, I don't know, 30-some years, but that's who was shoveling dirt over the story. Of course, we used him in the Koch-funded Contra War on Nicaragua till he refused to set up the Sandinista government for a sting. Leave us not forget.
My Uncle Stan will let you sell stuff in his time.
Let me.
Let's go to the goats, 92, Tricks of the Shade, Noriega's Coke Stand.
Yo, man, Coke here. Hey, Coke! Noriega's Coke Stand here. Coast to coast like butter toast. Sell the mores. Get in line for a line.
Look at it. We have yet to find our Uncle Stan, but now we have no money.
Fuck Uncle Stan. What we need is some easy ends.
Hey, two kids. Manny Noriega called help over here. The tough pickle you're in. I think I can help. It happens that I need a couple of extra salesmen like yourselves.
I can't believe our Uncle Stan will let you sell stuff in his time.
Well, let's ask, let's ask Big Brother. So, where were we? The transcript, okay, so in 1984, when Congress cut off Contra funding, the White House turned to other sources for support. According to documents, Ramon Million Rodriguez had been laundering foreign payments for the CIA up through 1982. At the time he was laundering cash for the cocaine cartel, he says the CIA turned to him again. Million Rodriguez, to have people like me in place that can be used is marvelous for them. The agency, and quite rightly so, has things they have to do which they can never admit to an oversight committee. All right, and the only way they can fund these things is through drug money or through illicit money that they can get their hands on in some way. Let's go to the Kerry hearings. Now, John Kerry talked to me when these were going on because they were refusing to docket my lawsuit against the CIA's request for a pre-briefing conference to determine whether the congressman's letter from the State Department saying we wouldn't hurt a hair on the heads we were putting up bullets in, or the defense of the CIA for the assassination manual was the case, because of course you couldn't have one or the other. And they were refusing to request to docket my request, and of course, he didn't care because. Anyway, here are the Kerry hearings. John Kerry in the hearings. Was any of the money traceable to drugs or to drug-related transactions? Million Rodriguez. The money that you're talking about, the money that we provided, John Kerry. That's right, Million Rodriguez. No, sir. And why was that? Because we're experts at what we do. Okay. So, Jose Blandon, this is Frontline. Who is Ramon Million Rodriguez? Jose Blandon. He worked for the cartel, Frontline. So he was laundering money for the cartel? Jose Blandon, yes. Frontline. And he worked with Noriega? Jose Blandon, yes. So the narrator says, until last year, Jose Blandon was General Manuel Noriega's head of political intelligence in Panama. He was a key U.S. government witness for the grand jury that indicted Noriega for drug trafficking. General Noriega was more than ready to support the Reagan administration in the Contra War after Congress cut off funding. Of course, we know Blandon from Gary Webb, who was suicided by the press, multiple bullets to the head. And after running down that... I think it's Blandon telling Rafael Cornejo, why don't you get involved in the black thing? Nobody cares if they kill each other. And Cornejos is from San Francisco area. He says, don't play me with black thing. Business is business, but you know, we're not like up here. Anyway, that's a different story. This is PBS, so how can the, I mean, yeah, public broadcasting system, so how can the CBS that we all see the BS of not be up to speed here? How important was Noriega to the White House in the Contra resupply effort? Jose Blandón, he played a key role in the supply of arms to the Contras. Frontline, so when various administration officials like Oliver Norton met with General Noriega, did they know he was involved in narcotics trafficking? Jose Blandón, I think the United States had information that Noriega is involved in drugs since at least 8 years. Frontline, 8 years? Jose Blandón, yes, so they knew about that. Frontline, were they just looking the other way on his drug trafficking? Jose Blandón, the problem is that for the White House, I mean for the administration, the Reagan administration, Nicaragua was so important. The focus of all the foreign policy of the United States and Central America was Nicaragua and the fight against the communists, so for them, drugs was something in second place. Frontline, drugs took second place? Jose Blandón, yes. Narrator, Noriega's Contra support earned him powerful friends in Washington, including the CIA director William Casey. Oh, DJ Mouse aside, the subject of Getty versus Casey, not another story, but anyway, back to PBS. Noriega was on his payroll at a reported $200,000 a year. Jose Blandón, that was a very special relationship. Frontline, what kind of special relationship? Jose Blandón, well, Noriega talked with Casey and they had at least, that I know, more than three meetings and he always received the support of Casey. Frontline, what kind of support from Casey? Jose Blandón, all kinds of support, political support, so when somebody tried to investigate anything, Casey stopped it. Look, this is a very important person in this war. Frontline, so Casey would actually stop investigations of Noriega? Jose Blandón, yes, he was a man that helped Noriega very much. Narrator, according to Blandón, Noriega was not the only drug trafficker to reap the rewards of Contra support. The cocaine cartel also saw the advantage of backing U.S. policy. Jose Blandón, that's the reason why the cartel of Medellin decided in 1983 to cooperate with the Contras. Frontline, so you're saying that in 1983 the cartel started supporting the Contras? Jose Blandón, yes. Frontline, and the reason was because they knew they had could therefore get protection? Jose Blandón, yes. And I think that is because I think Deutsch actually came out with that about a decade later or something, but about then it was a letter from between French Smith and Casey telling Casey you don't have to report drug dealing crimes. And so, of course, when you got that official, then this all makes sense. And so the... Never mind. Oh, let's finish up with the Tricks of the Shade here, because...
Let me and Uncle Scam are boys. He pays well for my services, man. Do you want greenbacks? This is the spot.
I can't do nothing for you. Selling no eggnog and coke ain't doing nothing for nobody.
Fuck that, Chicken Little. Go for South. Poverty sucks.
Sorry, Mr. Noriega, but we need to find our uncle.
Yeah, well, your uncle don't come around here much no more. But what you should do is ask my biggest customers, the Georgie Bush kids over by the Wheel Recession. Maybe they can help you out, man.
Now, don't forget who the Mina Coke stand attendants are. Of course, that was the governor. And so when the governor became, when they passed the torch from Poppy Bush, son of Hitler's banker, Kennedy killer, George H.W. Bush, to the people running that Coke stand from whence Hassenfuss took off in the C-123, they knew was a drug plane, took off with arms for the Contras and all. That was from MENA that Hassenfuss was shot down from. And so, of course, the shit hits the fan. Mr. Bill says, oh, we had zero to do with it, and we gave them $25,000, which Prosecutor Black says that he never got, but those are mutually contradictory things, but. Oh, yes. So...
Like Senator Sanders,
yeah.
How are you going to help support single payer, because all the proposals and the reworks that have been coming up with healthcare right now basically are just helping the health insurance industry. People like
now we know who's working for Aetna. That's Mr. Bill. And of course, this is a question to Senator Frankenstein, who was grafted onto the body politic of the best mayor San Francisco ever had. But of course, you can't run the war on Nicaragua and the death squads in El Salvador, you know, basically the war on Central America from San Francisco, where all of these kingpins are living. That's in Dark Alliance. And I could talk more about that, but never mind. With Moscone and Milk in the way, the first gay supervisor. So when this is going down at the same time as Jonestown, where Dan White is handling the money trail to the falsely identified people, because of the people in here in the Frankenstein's town are knowing that they're not in San Francisco when this housing, urban development, or whatever the city's municipal housing funds are going to people. But so you have to clear the way for the horrible 80s, and of course Noriega dying just now is opening up this subject of and so the health industry is who Clinton is getting all her money from, and so that's who the Mina Kochstan governor hands over the single payer job to, you know, to hit on the single payer business. The war on socialism, remember, the Democrats sending death squad back up to the Republicans in California knew better than
the doctors and the medical facilities and nurses, etc., are not getting any breaks, but the healthcare industry is getting all the breaks. So my question again, how are you going to help support single payer healthcare?
Well,
get ready for some bullshit.
Single payer healthcare is going to mean complete takeover by the government of all healthcare. I'm not there.
By the way, great work. That's Lauren Steiner who did that video. I'll put a link to her channel underneath. She does great work. So there she is pretending to not understand the thing. That's called gaslighting. So she's making you think that the issue is this. Oh, a complete government takeover of our health care? Everyone knows what Medicare is. Medicare isn't a government doctor. Medicare is that they pay the doctor. You go to a private hospital with a private doctor, you get private medicine, you get a private therapist, you get private... It's not... There's no government. As another woman said, they just do the accounting.
But who would you rather have do the accounting? The government or a for-profit middleman that just wants to make as much money as possible? I mean, think about it, bro.
Think about it. So... there she is pretending to not... And you know that saying, it's hard to get someone to understand an issue? It was Upton Sinclair, I think, said it's hard to get a man to understand an issue when his paycheck depends on him not understanding it. Why do I say that? Because, I don't know, right after she had... After she said that stupid shit, boom! Dianne Feinstein takes money from healthcare lobby, rejects single-payer insurance. That's from May 2nd. So after she did that...
That wasn't an Upton Sinclair quote, by the way.
Oh, who was it?
It is. No, I said
it is.
Oh, it
is Upton Sinclair.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I just verified.
So that's Andrew Perez wrote this in for the International Business Times. And he said, after we saw that video, he says a week later, Feinstein was even further from there. She says, I'm not there yet. A week later, she was even further from there, benefiting from a fundraising event at the Washington, D.C. office of Avenue Solutions, a lobbying firm that represents major health insurers, pharmaceutical companies, and the primary trade association for doctors, all of which don't want her to understand single payer. They're paying her to pretend to not understand it, and she is fucking pretending. She'll lie right to a person's face about healthcare for money and power. That's a creep. That's not a good person who has a different view. That's not we have a different idea of how government should work. That's a creep and a liar and a gaslighter of her own constituents over healthcare. That's who Dianne Feinstein is. It's not. Is it a shock that a politician is a completely immoral, unethical piece of garbage? Is it? It's not to me. I mean, that's the whole thing about America. We get to make fun of our politicians because we know politicians most of the time are complete cretins. They're the weakest, the most mediocre of people get involved in politics normally. That's why you have her say she's a mediocre person. She doesn't give a shit that you see right through her. She thinks she, like all dumb people, they think that you can't see through them lying. They're so dumb, they think that lie fools you. Or worse, she doesn't give a shit. Either way, that's horrible.
She probably heard the one person that was clapping and was like, well, see, some people are with... Oh, wait, that was just my staffer I brought along. Never mind.
So get this back to the article. It says the industries have historically opposed efforts to create a universal government-run healthcare system, an idea supported by 58% of the U.S. adults. Feinstein supporters at the event were expected to kick in $1,000 to $5,000 for her re-election bid. Since Feinstein began her fourth full term in 2013, lobbyists and political action committees have given at least $592,000 to her campaign, more than one-third of all the money she's raised in total donations. Wow. Recent donors to Feinstein include former Democratic Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle. He was the Senate Majority Leader. He was a Democrat. And right as Barack Obama came into office, he lost his seat because he's such a shitty leader.
Well, yeah, but he was good enough to get the anthrax reward. Now, no good deed goes unpunished, so it was asbestos legislation that one would have to look into behind all this with proper context, because Dresser Industries was Poppy Bush's son Hitler's banker's holdings, and Halliburton buys it out. So you're not going to give Dick Cheney... And this is what LBJ, November 22nd, 1963, as we're getting our brains blown out by him, he's on the phone saying, I guess I'm going to have to sell my goddamn Halliburton stock. So,
and what did he do? He went to work for a health insurance lobbying firm. They gave him $2 million. And he came back and lobbied the government against single payer.
So, Daschle, at once upon a time, along with Leahy, the two top Democrats, they're getting, right after 9/11, they're getting, and the letter was dated 9/11/01, and they're on 9/11/01, they're taking Cipro, which is anthrax treatment. In the White House. So, that's who Daschle is. And so he gets turned 360 from their adversary. He's bought off. He's given the carrot or stick. He doesn't want to get killed. He's still around. He's a millionaire. And
public option.
Blah, blah, blah.
He came back to town with $2 million check in his pocket from the health insurance industry. And he didn't even have to say anything to anybody.
Uh-oh.
All he had to do was walk around, get out of the limousine, and walk around with a $2 million check sticking out of his pocket. hey, you guys want to be part of the upper 0.1%?
No, not personally. But, so, in reviewing the tactics used to convince Manuel Noriega and the testimony of those involved in the prosecution, it is obvious that Sister Maria Teresa could also be convicted of drug trafficking by these methods. It is rather ridiculous. The judge involved is even quoted as saying that the legality of the trial is not as important as the conviction of such an evil man. I mean, anybody that would work for us, we know, guys, blah, 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 of the U.S., that is. The whole thing is reminiscent of the trial of IWW leaders and anarchists in the World War I period. It's all very suspicious, to say the least. Noriega does not shy from the fact that he was often working on behalf of the CIA in various exploits. In the trial, these involvement were spun to his disadvantage and corroborated by convicted criminals who got reprieves from the jail time for their testimony. Okay, that was an Amazon review of America's Prisoner, Memoirs, Manuel Noriega. So check out that book because it's got all kinds of stuff. Now, remember, I probably may have said, please do not join me Monday 9 a.m. at the tracks 5300 Port Chicago Highway to stand nonviolently in the way of this, if the insanity of dropping the biggest WMD since Nagasaki on the target you kill on behalf of in Syria, ! Has not already damaged your mental health, so you may wish to avoid vehicular assaults, false arrests, illegal strip searches, and the blind eyes turned to drive-by shootings we already damaged by cathartic. So, I got this little clip to play of me yesterday at the tracks, where I spent a couple decades blocking weapons, and then, like, we had, I was back there under Drone Bomber in 2013, as bogus Latakia kidnap victims in the chem video, bullshit, but...
No WMDs.
That's what the sign says, no WMDs.
No explosives in those 2 days.
And I did not hear any big trucks.
Well, it's Memorial Day.
Rumble by.
Well, we'll see. Day is young.
Well, that was 10 a.m., so I uploaded that at noon. And I, again, didn't hear any big trucks rumble by, but they might have slipped in the back way, so... In which case, it would be my fault, so blame me for all those Yemeni children burned alive by white phosphorus, because we have documented that coming from 5300 Port Chicago Highway, which is the address they write on your ticket when you stand on the train tracks that cross from the inland to the tidal, where my friend got chopped into pieces after they ordered the train not to stop because someone had phoned a threat on behalf of the veterans fasting on the White House. Remember Charlie Litke throwing away his Congressional Medal of Honor? Duncan Murphy liberated the Belsenbergen and places with human skin products. And George Miso and Brian Wilson, who I knew when he had his legs. But that was yesterday. And here we go with, in front of Trump, Al-Sisi exposes supporters of terrorism. Comprehensive counterterrorism means confronting all terrorist organizations without it is not possible to reduce the confrontation to a terrorist organization or two. Who provide terrorists with media and financial support is a partner of their crimes. The criminal is not only the militant, but also those who finance, train, and arm them. And provides them with political and ideological cover. Let me ask you frankly. Where are the safe havens to train these terrorists? And medical treatment of the injured terrorists. The replacement of military equipment and militants. who buys from them the natural materials, such as the oil. Oh, and of course, Tillerson would be a suspect, Exxon being guilty, along with Bilal, Erdogan's son, buying up all the ISIS oil. That's conspiracy to murder. Who colludes with them in trading the archaeological monuments and drugs? From where they get financial donations? And how do they get media support? By media outlets acting as mouthpieces of the terrorist organizations. Anyone who does this is a genuine partner in terrorism. Unfortunately, there are countries that have been involved in supporting and financing terrorist organizations and providing safe havens for them. There are also countries that refuse to provide intelligence information. Little circle going on. And database on foreign fighters, even with the Interpol. So that was al-Sisi. In front of Trump, al-Sisi exposes supporters of terror. And boy, do the Saudis look uncomfortable. But back to our Frankenstein mayor grafted onto the body politic of the best San Francisco ever had. Oh, she's intelligence chief.
Say no to single payer and public option like I did, like a good Democrat, good corporate Democrat. We're winning, right? We have a gun now to the knife fight. We're bringing a gun, and we're winning. And if the Democrats win when they bring a gun to the gunfight, that means you lose. Because
recent donors to Feinstein include former Democratic Senator Majority Leader Tom Daschle, who lobbies for Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Brian Griffin, who represents the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, Pharma, and Fred Grafe, who lobbies for the Federation of American Hospitals.
Democrats want to keep you away from single payer and cheaper prescription drugs. So that's who Tom Daschle is. That's why that's important. That's who Tom Daschle is. That's recent donors to Feinstein include him, Tom Daschle. He lobbies for Blue Cross Blue Shield. Also, Brian Griffin, who represents the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, and Fred Grafe, is that how you say his name, who lobbies for the Federation of American Hospitals. She also received donations from political action committees run by pharma and pharmaceutical companies Merck & Company, Amgen, and AbbVie.
I love how it's literally called pharma.
It's literally called pharma.
It's literally called pharma. And they have three letters capitalized. Well, four.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? There's one letter not.
Yeah, right? Just the yeah. H. They're like, we don't want to be too big pharma.
There's your Democratic leader in California. There she is. I would say she's out of touch, but she's not out of touch. She knows what the people want. Everybody knows. She knows that 58% of the country's in favor of single payer. And that's why she looks so stupid when she pretends to not know what it is. Because most of the country knows what it is. And you're telling me the fucking sitting senator from California is confused on what single payer means? No, she's lying. That's a liar to your own people. Just like most of the other politicians. They're liars. They're mediocre people with no freaking integrity or spine. They want power and money, and that's what Dianne Feinstein is. And that's what the Democratic Party, just by the way, in California, elected, the Democratic Party in California, elected a pharmaceutical lobbyist, a health insurance lobbyist, as the Democratic Party's chairperson in California. I wonder how they're going to cover that on MSNBC. We should watch. Oh, yesterday would have been the day to watch, right? See how they covered it?
Mm-hmm.
So we could go back on their website. They post their shows, don't they? They must.
Yes. Yeah.
So let's go back and see how they covered the California Democratic Party, which we thought was taken over by progressives because but it wasn't. They have rigged the system with super delegates inside California's own Democratic Party to thwart the will of the people, and they did it again. And this is your Democratic Senator. I mean, what's the point of the Democratic Party? We need a third party. There is no doubt. And if everybody last year during the election would have stood on principle and voted their conscience, everybody who I know who agreed with the Green New Deal and hated corporatist warmongers, if they would have then voted for a Green New Deal, we would still have Trump as president. But we would have a totally different Democratic Party, because that would have been 15% of the people or 20% of the people voting for a Green Party. That wipes the Democrats out. Now they're still trying to do that thing. Instead of coming to get progressive votes, they're still doing that thing where they're trying to get rid of the progressives. Like, we don't want... They know they can't win with us, yet they still want to just shut up and get in line. It's not happening.
This assassination cannot sit, and I hope that there's a whole group of folks who are devoted to sort of getting the word out to political candidates, if you will, and holding them accountable.
Yes, not even a year ago.
And Shin, she and all the people around her were in grave danger.
That's right. Before we lose this opportunity, please, listeners, which again is partly the website of Gustavo, who is on our board, and that is otherworldsarepossible.org. That's otherworldsarepossible.org. And please, everyone, take action. This man's life is so important to so many fights in Central America, and right now it dangles by a thread. Yes, that final night that she was taken on March 3rd, there was also, as you mentioned, Dennis, another person who was present, who was the only eyewitness to the assassination.
Explain, tell us a little bit about Gustavo Castro, what his experience, what we know in terms of what his experience is, and then what the dangers that he face, the dangers he's facing right now.
Yes, so Gustavo is the coordinator of Otros Mundos in Chiapas, Mexico. Otros Mundos meaning other worlds. My organization, Other Worlds in Oakland, is the sister organization, and he is co-founder to my organization and also on the board of directors of this women-run group. And he is to Mexico what Berta has been to Honduras. That is, he has led the fight in Mexico against extraction, against mines, against dams, against logging. Among other things, he is the founder and coordinator of the Mesoamerican Movement Against Mining, known by its acronym the M4. He is the founder and coordinator of the anti-dam organization in Mexico, and he is a coordinator of the anti-dam organization throughout Mesoamerica. He has so many more titles, and he has done so much more. He is one of the most extraordinary people that I have ever known, and was very, very close to Berta. So he went to her home that night from Mexico. He came up to provide accompaniment in the hopes of thwarting the assassination, which of course wasn't possible. But he did see the face of the killer. He himself was shot twice, wounded but not seriously. Berta died in his arms, and since then his life has just become a nightmare of international game playing by the Honduran, Mexican, and notably U.S. governments. No, that's nonsense, as was the Honduran government's charge that it was a crime of passion by another leader of the same organization. This was a murder that was carefully planned and backed by both the Honduran government and the company that was at the head of this dam project that this indigenous group, Copin, had been able to stop. Since that time, even though Gustavo was himself a victim, he was picked up, taken into custody in the Justice of the Peace Office of La Esperanza, where he began a process of psychological torture and detention that is still going on. He was denied sleep, he was denied food, he was subject to many other things, which I have been asked not to repeat for his security until he's left the country. I would like to mention that the U.S. government has stated proudly, State Department has stated publicly, that they are pleased to be collaborating with the Honduran government closely in the investigation of Berta's murder.
And this is some time back, but there's a lot of the background that, and I think Castro did get back the wounded witness to the murder of Berta Cáceres in Honduras.
And we have actually seen that play out. I actually saw a picture of FBI agents in Berta's home. Why U.S. FBI agents are part of this is a very fine question, but we can imagine.
Yes, well, doesn't take much imagination, actually. Now, of course, my mind goes blank as soon as I turn on the mic. Maybe that means I should get the pause here. Oh, yes. Now I remember. Frankenstein Mayors. Yeah, so now we're thinking, we're bouncing around the world. We'll start from Concord off to Diego Garcia. We'll get most of the ways around the world, but before we do that, we got to go to Central Africa, where, you know, the 10 million of the Poppy Bush, Mr. Bill, 1990 to 94 invasion from Uganda, of Rwanda, where Kagame Leavenworth trained, is the proxy overlord in the Contra War, recolonizing Rwanda and like Libya. So Hillary's got like a 250,000 dead in Syria, probably similar numbers in Libya, equaling the 500,000 of the starving children through the sanctions of Mr. Bill. But listen, there are 10 million dead in Congo, direct result of the invasion from 1990 under the son of Hitler's banker, Poppy Bush, the boss of that MENA is in the lower left of Arkansas, jutting into Texas, okay, where Kennedy killers hail from.
Members and supporters of the Central American Refugee Action Group rallied outside Senator Dianne Feinstein's San Francisco office yesterday, demanding temporary protective status for immigrants from Central America. Inside, activists staged civil disobedience. Claire Strempel filed this report from San Francisco.
That's the sound of several dozen protesters outside the building that houses Senator Feinstein's office. Inside the blocked doors, nine members of the Central American Refugees Action Group, or CARA, are chained together on the floor chanting the words, TPS, now. TPS, Temporary Protective Status for Immigrants, has been denied to Central Americans at risk of or facing deportation.
For the fight auto workers who were twisted, tricked, and robbed, to the peasant in Guatemala in a sweatshop got your job, and she can't feed her family on the pennies that she makes. Meanwhile, the crime rate's rising up and down the Great Lakes states. Like vegetables left in the field, the signatures smell rotten on the contracts and the deeds that push the race down to the bottom. As they load the rubber bullets, as they fire another round, I'm heading to the tear gas. Dig in, man, hold your ground. For Joe Hill and Cesar Chavez, who fought in their own time, for our brothers and our sisters up and down that picket line, for the unnamed and unnumbered who struggled brave and long, for the Union men and women standing up and standing strong.
Yeah, bad DJ, okay, but I'm not a professional, so your ears aren't ringing. No, what I meant to say was to segue from the Union song Night Watchman to the, or from the visit yesterday back to where the shipment of nukes comes from. Diego Garcia got a bunch of those penetrators, those nuclear penetrators. Now, I'm not sure if that's what they used in Afghanistan, the MOAB. It was a 22,000-pound blasting for a radius of a mile, so it's going to be, you know, devastation Nagasaki, and the biggest WMD since Nagasaki on the target we're in league with. I don't know, but the point was, oh yes, once upon a time, this goddamn communist, to quote the people at Michael Stead, was it Ford in, well, it was Michael Stead Motors in Concord, whatever the brand, because, of course, when he bought out Hilltop Ford, I think it was, it became Michael Stead Hilltop, whatever it was, and the people that were making $14 an hour as installers got all fired and got offered their jobs back at the same thing I could, at the same wage of $8 an hour I could make raising that AFL-CIO in Michael Stead Concord's, it was a vacant lot. It was very nice to see. But so the machinist union would hire this hippie protester, and I would have to bear the stench of burning corpse at the union gigs and all, and the flag wagon and all that damn stuff. But nevertheless, I would volunteer to show up on the weekends when the you know, the UPS trucks, the Teamsters, and the other union drivers would be giving me the smile and the thumbs up as they back out of those driveways. Because, you know, your pickets, you're going to have a $35,000 strike fund so that the machinists that are getting fired when their co-workers at Concord Lexus are trying to unionize, because they want coverage for their families, you know, they want that retirement thing. They want health care that isn't in this goddamn country where blah, 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 blah. But, you know, that vacant lot is the point.
Yeah. Si nos queremos, juntos vamos a ganar. Si, yeah, hit him where it hurts and bite the hand that feeds. You might get 1 to 3 or probation and a fine. Well, I know where I'm gonna be. I'm gonna be right on that front line for Joe Hill and Cesar Chavez, who fought in their own time for our brothers and our sisters up and down that picket line. For the unnamed and unnumbered who struggle brave and long. For the union men and women standing up and standing strong. Yes! Now dirty scabs will cross the line while others stand aside and look. But ain't nobody never got nothing that didn't raise a voice and push. Like the steel worker in Ohio, the miner in West Virginia, the teacher in Chicago, janitor in Mississippi. Like the farmer in North Dakota, garment worker in New York City, the longshoreman in Seattle, and the L.A. grocery workers who are fucking heroes. Like Joe Hill and Cesar Chavez, who fought in their own time. Like our brothers and our sisters up and down that picket line. Like the unnamed and unnumbered who struggle brave and long. Like the union men and women standing up and standing strong. Like the unnamed and unnumbered who struggle brave and long. Like the union men and women standing up and standing strong. Yeah!
Color peace. Repeat after me. It is our duty to fight for our freedom.
It is our duty to fight for our freedom.
It is our duty to win.
It is our duty. Bell, Beverly.
Now, today's my paperwork. Ah, crash. It is something like Keller shuns LWOP. She just votes for lethal injection or something. California death row, that is. Yeah, so in the town hall meeting, Hillary Clinton was asked about the death penalty and said, well, what about our need to shred the people paper trail leading back to us? Like 93, I think, she might, or the Oklahoma City bombing, of course, there was the, similar to 9/11 with Odigo, there was the messaging system saying stay away, while under Mr. Bill there was a system telling them to stay away from work. So, of course, they used the death penalty and their drone bomb, drone murder assassination program to shred the people paper trail back to the back to us. Excuse me, in our inside jobs. So, that goes along with torturing false confessions to paper over that same trail back to us. Now, and okay. Now, I wanted to have a little commentary on the, So, on a, messages which you can't find when you don't have one. So, never mind. Okay. This is a job. Now we're DJ. So, okay. Babbling away. So I don't even need to unpush the pause because I've been babbling away. So let's go back to my email and read. In a previous episode of the Contra War, Trax nurse Dorothy escorted Contras to the hospital so countrymen wouldn't take revenge, and the Contra told his buddies, you can't kill her, she's the only one taking care of our families. I have friends who were enemies then. Can't share too much, or at least I know I don't know what I'm talking about when I do about wiping out the ISIS leadership. So RT has something I wasn't get to, but saying that Trump is silent as Syrian army wipes out the ISIS leadership. So anyway, even though I would be on the opposite end as their enemy, as a commie, I have to remember what happened the last time we were engaged in resisting a Contra war, and we ended up protecting the U.S. mercenaries from the people they were killing, okay, from the families, their loved ones of their murder victims. We were putting ourselves in between so that there could eventually be peace, and this was done by people a little more sane than me, like a nurse at the tracks, and I was driven there by the impulse to respond in kind. Getty versus Casey is all about, so that was a picnic of federal suit as opposed to the first impulse that I don't need to go into here, but blah, 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 blah. Oh, yes. Case of the hundreds of thousands murdered in the Hillary's Arab Sting murders. Horace Campbell was talking about that in Africa Today. Maybe I will back it up slightly, but they haven't heard this, so I just wanted.
This week on Making Contact.
This is bullying. I've seen comments from adults.
Pentagon that supports Museveni, works very close with Museveni, and that section of the Obama administration, the State Department, who believes that the Ugandan is going too far in violating human rights violation in Uganda. So the subcontracting of Uganda by the West has run into some problems. And so what the Ugandans have now done is to move closer to the other allies of the United States, like the Emirates and Qatar and Israel, so that they will still serve the interests of Western capital in Africa.
What happened, Horace, to... I've looked back at 1997. What happened to that legacy of Mossad?
Oops, well... Anyway, that was the Horace Campbell that the that I refer to, but let me get back to the tracks of Concord, where a bomb truck drove into me in the Second World War. Now, it is important to note that when you are standing in the way of shipments of deaths at the weapons station north of Concord, there's a federal order of permanent injunction that SAW Stanley A. Wiggle issued, and he's safely gone, so they can't retract it directly. Well, and it's still standing, so they can't torture you when you're blocking. They can't use torture holds called pain holds or control holds. And then, I mean, you'll get charged with $1,000 damage because the bug thing you're hanging on to after it breaks your camera will be broken, but he and the driver will lie and say that you jumped up there and broke it, but the cop who arrests you and lets you go, here's the engine rev. Anyway, go to Greg from Tracks at YouTube.com. CNW is hit by CNW's bomb truck, and that's how we do it. I'm all alone, but I do have the order of federal order of permanent injunction banning torture. So, Hillary or Bernie, either one will drive us back to the tracks, even if they don't.
Which is incredibly poignant because
I think he's going to talk about
the coterie of whistleblowers that I had the privilege to be with. I was thinking
Schoenbaum of bomber citing the assassination.
My Irish grandmother who always say, "Show me your company, and I'll tell you who you are."
And, Mickey Cohen, the owner of Santa Anita Racetrack or something where Sirhan worked, but actually it was Zane Caesar, put powder burns behind his back. Remember Rosie Greer between Zane Caesar? I mean, no, Zane Caesar had Bobby by the right elbow when he was getting powder burns behind the right ear. The three people, Hoffa, Marcello, and Cohen, that Bobby ordered Hoover to investigate, that were probably involved in the murder of Bobby, that Hoover looked the other way for. Of course, Hoffa, Jimmy Hoffa, the guy that was murdered, was in charge of the FLCIO that was giving us those picket signs so that we could shut down Michael Stead in Concord, where that vacant lot was. Port Chicago Highway starts from Concord, and 5300 Port Chicago Highway. A Murder Mystery is the title of my little autobiography, which goes, where in this country could an adversary use a nuke killing everyone for square miles without committing a war crime by killing innocent civilians? I ask Richard, the lion-hearted Abe would call him. And standing on the tracks of the weapons station that had shipped mass destruction to Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Korea, Vietnam, and later Iraq and Afghanistan, he said, no, there's nowhere in the world they could be used. To quote the commander of the base that shipped the weapons of mass destruction to Iraq. And actually, I'm not sure what years it was because... I'll have to check on that, actually, and see if he was commander of during the first oil war. That's a possibility, but anyway. In front of Bobby, winner of the California primary, was Rosie Greer in between Sirhan and the candidate that won. So obviously, he's not going to put... You know, Rosie Greer's a big guy. He's not going to get the shot that kills Bobby. It was a security guard or something. Anyway, Hillary, the murderer of Libya, to tune of like probably 500,000, counting Syria and the Arab Spring. Also, the murderers of the Honduran masses under the coup that we covered last week in the Caceres murder thing. Now, in a town hall meeting, Hillary said that she opted for the death penalty for herself and Bill rather than life without parole. And she cited the Oklahoma City bombing, which, of course, Mr. Bill used to apply the effective death penalty anti-terrorism bullshit when the ATF got the pager memos to stay home, and there was that controlled demolition. There were about three of those major internal demolitions blamed on outside truck bomb, OKC, and Buenos Aires, and the Israeli consulate and the Jewish community center. So all of those blamed on truck bombs, but actually you see have a mushroom cloud over the building. So now let's go back and listen to, I think he's going to talk here about why a drone bomber is the murderer in chief, the assassin in chief that he is.
I want to go to the critique points that Edward Snowden faces one by one, and as I go each one of them, I would like to see a response towards that, each point. So the first point, he jeopardized the national security of the United States and her allies, which include Germany.
He did nothing of the kind. There is no jeopardy here. It's just like the accusations leveled at Bradley, now Chelsea Manning, all gloom and doom. And when the defense secretary was asked to testify to that, he said these warnings, these dangers were, quote, significantly overwrought.
He broke the law and could have used channels within the NSA to inform his supervisors.
He tried to use channels within the NSA, and there was nobody who even remotely listened to him. The whistleblower protection for people like Edward Snowden is zero, and the President of the United States knows that, and yet he hides that fact.
He's a Russian or Chinese spy.
That is ludicrous. That is what the people that used to adduce during the McCarthy years. I thought we had grown up from that.
And also to the last point, that the NSA has the right to accumulate our data because if we haven't committed any wrongdoings, there's nothing to hide.
Yeah. Well, I would answer with the words of the Stasi alumnus, Wolfgang Schmidt, who was asked that question. What about these Americans who say, I have nothing to hide? And he said, and I quote, "This is very naive. This is the reason that the government collects this information in the first place to use against you. The only way to prevent that is to prevent the information from being collected in the first place," end quote. And that's it. They're going to use it. Why else do they collect it? And even if they don't use it, if you have a suspicion that they have the book on you, on your most secret activities, how is that going to work on your freedom of thought and freedom of expression?
Here in Germany, when we think of the CIA, we think about torture and extraordinary rendition. NSA, we think of the global surveillance system. FBI, we think of people breaking into our homes. Have U.S. intelligence services stepped out of bounds? And what role, if at any at all, do you see them playing in this globalized society?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the question really is whether our political leaders have stepped out of bounds.